Chapter 6
"This is a public service announcement,"
Abby repeated as the message blinked. "Okay." I took a steadying breath to prepare myself for the worst.
"Would you like me to play the public service announcement, Dave Meyer?"
the female automated voice asked. "Yes," I said. "But can you project the sound so that everyone can hear it?"
"As you wish, Dave Meyer,"
the robotic woman responded. "Great," I said, while I took the glasses off of my face again. "All right, let's find out what happened 20 years ago." The message was projected into the air, but it was just a plain sheet of paper with block lettering like it had been written on a typewriter.
"The United Nations has created 10 evacuation sites."
The automated woman displayed 10 thumbnails and zoomed in on each city as she listed them.
"They can be found in New York, Los Angeles, Dallas, Fort Lauderdale, London, Paris, Rome, Shanghai, New Delhi, and Tokyo. These sites will transport anyone with a ticket to the newly completed space station. If you are unable to purchase a ticket to the space station, there will be shelters in every major city as an alternative. The Gilding Company apologizes for this inconvenience and thanks you for your patience. The Gilding Company has graciously provided tents and other survival tools for those who must remain on the planet. The packages are available in every major city. All flights to the space station will leave on August 18th, 2000, at 10 a.m. There will be no return trips. This has been a public service announcement."
"Well, that was anticlimactic," I muttered as I slid the glasses back on.
"The monkey people left?"
Fila asked before she sat on the white wooden table. "They must have evacuated," I said. "But it doesn't say why. And who the hell is the Gilding Company?"
"Do you think Detroit would still have one of those shelters?"
Emma asked as she tucked a loose strand of hair behind her ear. "No idea," I said. "We haven't seen any lights or anything from over there, and it was 20 years ago. The only thing we've come across are the drill bots and those floating lanterns."
"The humans abandoned their planet,"
Raz said as she tilted her head.
"I do not understand. Why would they leave unless they had to?"
"No idea," I said. "They must have thought that they didn't have another choice. Maybe Abby has something else that she can tell us. Are you sure that you haven't found any animals or anything?"
"I have not,"
the alien woman said.
"I have checked within 5 miles of our base. There is nothing alive except for the microbes that are common in the soil. I have consumed some of them in order to keep myself functional."
"Not even plants?" I asked. "There should have been at least some seeds or something."
"There are small granules that I believe are what you call seeds, but they are not growing,"
Raz said. "Okay," I said as I nodded my head. "Let's see what else Abby has found. Abby, can you tell me why everyone left?" A breeze that smelled like mold with a metallic tang wound through the mounds of debris and ruffled my messy hair. The strands brushed my face and then settled as the wind continued toward the south of the base. I leaned next to Fila and tapped my fingers on the underside of the table while I thought about the PSA. It hadn't really explained the need for a planetary evacuation. I watched as files and pictures flitted across the lenses of the Namshubs, but Abby didn't stop for more than a few seconds. She finally paused for a full minute at a folder with the United Nations emblem.
"I believe that I have found something, Dave Meyer,"
the female automated voice said.
"The United Nations agreed to evacuate the Earth after the completion of the space station. It was deemed a safer alternative to staying behind."
I groaned and rolled my eyes at the less than helpful information. "But why was it safer?" I questioned, in as patient of a tone as I could muster.
"The United Nations considered the newly completed space station a safer alternative after the Gilding Company's last failed attempt to shut down their production machine,"
Abby said. "Production machine?" I asked. "Who the hell is the Gilding Company, and why is their production machine the reason everyone needed to leave the Earth?"
"The Gilding Company is the premier furniture production company for all of your household and office needs,"
the automated voice prattled off in a tone that reminded me of an infomercial.
"If you're in need of the perfect lamp for your office or a new bedroom set, the Gilding Company will be happy to provide it for you."
"A furniture company," I muttered. How could a furniture production company be the reason that the entire planet needed to be evacuated?
The Gilding Company created their latest production machine, the Gilding PM, in the heart of Detroit on January 7th of 2019,
the Nam Shub said.
The machine began to fulfill worldwide orders immediately. However, the Gilding PM soon began to create more than what was needed. The Gilding Company attempted to shut off the machine, but after several attempts, the effort was given up.
What the fuck? I asked. The news article with the failed attempts popped up across the lenses. Small pictures of the massive machine with blast marks along the bright orange paint filled my vision, and I tried to read the tiny descriptions to find out what they'd used, but they were nothing but blurs as Abby moved on to the next article.
Have I satisfied your questions, Dave Meyer?
Abby asked. No, I said. Why the hell couldn't they shut down the machine? Couldn't they just unplug it? And why would that lead to a planetary evacuation?
The Gilding Company created one of the best machines in the world,
the automated voice said, like she was an infomercial.
It is invulnerable to fire, explosions, and any form of tampering. After each attempt to shut the machine down, it began to produce at even higher rates, and soon the extra furniture was spilling out into the streets as the Gilding Company ran out of storage space. The United Nations met for a month-long discussion with the Gilding Company and concluded that the only way to save the human race was to evacuate to the newly completed space station.
Holy shit, I muttered to myself. So they made a machine they couldn't shut off, and it became self-aware or something and started overproducing?
I am unsure how to answer that question, Dave Meyer,
the electronic woman said.
The Gilding Company was incapable of deactivating the Gilding PM. None of the reports have shown that it is sentient.
Well, at least that's something, I muttered. But why would it just start overproducing?
The Gilding Company released a statement to apologize for their miscalculation,
Abby said.
Their generating machine was designed to fulfill all of their orders and to anticipate any that may arrive in the future.
It sounds like they made a machine that they couldn't control,
Emma said with a roll of her eyes.
It is a bit like my world.
I can't believe they didn't have a failsafe or something so that they could turn it off, I grumbled. There has to be a shutoff. Or maybe they didn't report it, but the thing really is sentient. If it was a private company, then they were probably trying to save face.
Is it a machine that thinks for itself?
Fila asked as her ears twitched. I can't imagine that it doesn't think for itself if it's continued to run this long, I said. Especially if they can't get it to shut down. Or maybe they just did a really terrible job at programming it and have no idea how to get it to stop.
It sounds like something out of a novel,
Emma said.
Like something meant to scare people away from the Industrial Revolution.
It does, I grumbled. The constant scroll of articles on the Nam Shubs had started to give me a headache. So I slipped them up into my hair and ran my hands over my eyes. They felt like they had sandpaper in them when I looked around at the canyons and valleys of junk that surrounded me. I had trouble believing that someone would have created a machine like that without a failsafe mechanism. But Tesla had released an energy pulse that had destroyed Emma's entire world, so it wasn't completely out of the realm of possibility.
What about those humans who could not afford the tickets?
Raz asked. The alien woman looked around the camp as if she expected the survivors to materialize. They didn't appear, so she shrugged her shoulders and looked over at me for the answer instead. It sounds like they just gave them survival gear and abandoned them, I said. I wouldn't doubt that they'd just save the super-rich people and leave the poor to fend for themselves. My world had plenty of disaster movies where that happened. I'm more concerned with how much output the machine is making if the entire world needed to be abandoned. And where is it getting the materials?
Do you think Abby has any more information?
Emma asked as her stomach let out a loud growl.
Excuse me, I should probably start dinner.
My dark-haired lover tried to hide her blush as she strolled over to her unearthed oven. The last rays of sunlight bounced off of the shiny metal and lit her bright red cheeks before they got lost in the black of her hair and skirt. She did a complete check of the oven to make sure that the hinges worked before she inspected the wood that would heat it. She might, I sighed, But she keeps avoiding the questions. And I think half of what she's giving me is propaganda that the Gilding Company put out. It might take a while for her to get to anything that's actually useful.
It's worth checking,
the blue-eyed woman said.
I'm going to start dinner. I think I still have some dried meat for Ravs and Fila, while you and I can have seasoned vegetables. I would love to use some of that garlic with the canned green beans and potatoes.
That sounds delicious, I said. I'll ask Abby what happened after everyone left. Maybe I'll be able to get a straight answer from her finally.
I will check the area again for humans,
Raz said as she looked around.
I will leave the slime shield intact and reach out for an area 10 miles wide.
That's a good plan, I said with a smile. If you can't find any plant life, then you can eat all of the microbes. But leave those in the soil for our base, so that we can grow later when we plant our garden.
Of course, Dave Meyer,
the alien woman said. The alien woman dissolved and spread out into the earth underneath where she'd stood while the thin slime shield slowly crawled back over us. The arched barrier connected just as the last of a crisis disappeared. Unlike the rest of us, she was almost impervious to injury, but I still worried as she explored the junkyard for forms of food.
Floppy and I will go to drink some water,
Fila said as she hopped down from the table.
He will need to move his leg, and I will need to clean out his wound again.
Be careful, I said as the beautiful saber-toothed humanoid strolled toward the barrier. If any of those drill bots sound like they're going to turn on, you book it back to the base.
I will be careful, Dave Meyer.
She gave me a saucy look that made my heart race. I sighed and focused my attention back on the Nam Shubs that were perched on the end of my nose. The lenses were still filled with articles and photos, but Abby didn't pause on each one long enough for me to read any of them. I knew that most of it had to be purchased propaganda because there was no way that there would be any positive reviews for a company that destroyed the world unless they'd greased some pockets. All right, Abby, I ran my hands through my hair. Let's start with something simple. What happened to the survivors after the evacuation?
Those who could not afford a ticket were given supplies and survival tools,
the robotic woman repeated her earlier answer. Right. I needed to think of a better way to ask what I wanted to know. Is there any updates for what happened to them after they were given the survival tools and supplies? The lenses blinked a few times and paused their processing like they'd suddenly hit a brick wall. But after a few seconds, a red light started to shine in the corner of the right lens. It spread out to become a neon-colored classified before a little replica of Riggs walked across the glass to kick it. The letters wobbled for a few seconds and then cracked and fell to pieces at the bottom of the lens. The broken shards reassembled into what looked like a classified document file, and I smiled at the hacker's ingenuity.
Those who were left behind on the Earth's surface quickly turned on each other,
Abby said in a calm tone that made a river of unease race down my spine.
There were mobs at every survival supply site, as those who could not afford a ticket to the space station began to fight over food and shelter. Several attacks on the Gilding PM took place as well. The machine adapted to the physical violence and activated the newly engineered drill bots that it had constructed. The bots slaughtered anyone who came near the warehouse where it was located. Those who managed to survive the mobs and the attacks from the drill bots were able to escape to the furthest regions of the Earth, places where the Gilding PM had not yet stored its extra products.
Damn, I whispered to myself. This is the worst timeline. So, what happened when the Gilding PM kept making stuff? Let me guess, the drill bots created the canyons?
The Earth has been used to store all of the unneeded products and to throw away old machinery that is no longer functional,
the automated voice said. So the drills really did make the canyons, I asked.
The Gilding PM used the newly designed drill bots to dig new places to store the furniture and other materials that it continues to produce,
Abby said. It just made a bunch of bots and dug up the earth? I asked. Where is it getting the materials to keep making shit? And what about the people in the space station? Did they ever try to come back?
The production machine created by the Gilding Company is a marvelous invention that is able to build furniture and other products by recycling unwanted materials,
the robotic woman said in a chipper voice that reminded me of a commercial.
Those who were evacuated to the space station have all of their needs met by the Gilding Company. They have no need to return to the Earth's fractured surface.
Ugh, I groaned. So they recycle what they make to make more. I bet it has some kind of bot that does the recycling. Like the drill bots that make the canyons. They just go around tearing stuff apart and then bring it back to the big machine so it can keep spitting stuff out like some B-rated sci-fi movie.
The production machine from the Gilding Company is designed to identify building materials and has specific robots that are sent to retrieve those materials.
Abby responded to my ramble.
The robots operate through magnetic power. The Gilding Company has revolutionized heavy machinery by using the magnetic field of the Earth so that the Earth will not be harmed as the machines hover over the surface. And the power source is sustainable, since the Earth will never lose its magnetic field.
Yeah, of course, I chuckled as I rolled my eyes. I can see that they don't hurt the Earth. I ran my hand through my messy hair and then down my face as I tried to process. Abby couldn't seem to tell me anything that wasn't tainted by the Gilding Company. I ground my teeth together as I thought about the damned reptilian bastards that had clearly paid off every news station and possibly every government agency.
Not getting the answers you're looking for?
Emma asked in her elegant accent. She'd gathered her spices together and had a nice fire roaring in the belly of the old stove. The heat of the flames reached me where I was sitting and lit the huge grin on Emma's rosebud lips as she went about her work. She poured the contents of several jars into her cast-iron skillet and hummed to herself as she sprinkled garlic powder over everything. "It's all propaganda," I grumbled. But I did find out that the machines use the magnetic field to float around, and I'm fairly certain that the production machine is still going. It created the drills that made the canyons.
"Well, that's at least something,"
the dark-haired woman said as she tossed a smile over her shoulder.
"Oh, what about those earthquakes?"
"Good idea," I sighed. "Abby, why are there earthquakes in Detroit? Is there a fault line here or something?" A picture of the Earth's fault lines appeared on the left lens, and a geological report from 10 years ago popped up on the right. I guessed someone from the space station must have come down at some point, but it was classified as well. The mini digital rigs fought with the file until he was finally able to pry it open, and then I immediately wished that I hadn't seen it. The report provided a new picture of the fault lines, and the whole crust was fractured. The geologist who'd written the report didn't mince words about the situation, and clearly hadn't been paid off by the Gilding Company because they blamed the conglomerate for the destruction of the planet. Apparently, the Gilding PM had instructed the drill bots to dig deep into the earth to create the canyons, but they'd gone too far, and now the crust had started to separate. As of the report, the earthquakes took place once a week, but they suspected that as more damage occurred, they would increase in frequency until they were less than 24 hours apart. The geologist expected that within 10 to 15 years, the drills would have weakened the earth's crust so much that it would simply break apart. The magnetic fields that surrounded the planet would weaken, and eventually the Earth would simply disintegrate into space. Or there would be a massive explosion, like in that old 90s movie The Core. The report ended with a suggestion that those on the space station find a way to relocate or terraform another planet that would be a safe distance away from the Earth's collapse. And I couldn't help but picture space cowboys fighting with a faceless government. I sighed and closed my eyes as I tried to process. The report was from 10 years ago, so it was possible that we were there right as the Earth was about to explode. The drill bots were clearly still active, so the magnetic field hadn't been destroyed completely. And I was certain that one of us would have noticed if even a few of them had just dropped away.
"Dave?"
Emma asked as she glanced over her shoulder at me.
"Is everything okay?"
She'd already started dinner, and the smell of onions, garlic, and green beans filled the air. The scent made my stomach growl, and I realized that I hadn't eaten anything since before the fight for my life. The Victorian brought our blue and white plates over to the table with the cast-iron skillet held easily in her other hand like the damned thing didn't weigh enough to be a weapon all on its own. "Not sure," I said, and stood to help her. I glanced down at my watch. It had been a little over 24 hours since we'd arrived, and that meant we were probably due for another earthquake. The bright yellow numbers on the dial told me that we still had about 36 hours left. I just hoped that the world we were on would last until then. Sol had programmed the dimensional engine patent pending to find worlds where we could survive, and that had humanoids. But I'm not sure if he'd thought to include something about not being on the brink of total destruction. This world was the only one that seemed in peril, but that didn't mean there wouldn't be others if we managed to survive.
What did Abby say?
The black-haired woman stirred the vegetables in her great big cast-iron skillet. The garlic, onions, and green beans looked delicious, and my mouth watered as I fought the urge to dig in right then. It looks like the earthquakes are because those damn drill bots broke the Earth's crust, I huffed. The fucking planet could fall apart at any moment.
Oh, my.
The elegant cook whispered as her bright blue eyes widened.
Oh, can we move up the time of our departure?
No, I said. The Dep needs another 36 hours before we leave. We'll have the full day tomorrow and then leave at 3 p.m. the day after tomorrow.
Will this world last that long?
Emma asked as she sprinkled red pepper flakes into our dinner. I hope so, I said. We still need to resupply, so tomorrow we'll take a trip out into the junkyard. I want to stay as close to the base as possible. I'm not sure if the Dep will hold our base together if the rest of the world explodes, but it's safer than being out there.
The Earth will explode, Dave Meyer?
Fila and her pet woolly mammoth climbed over the ledge of our base. Floppy still favored his back leg, but the giant creature didn't seem like it bothered him enough to slow him down much. The spot where his leg had been hurt was wet like he'd tried to lick it like a cat. He huffed at all of us before he plopped down a little further away than he usually sat. It looks like it, I muttered and tore my attention away from the woolly mammoth. But hopefully not until after we've left it far behind.
I did not enjoy it when my world broke apart,
Raz said. She was already completely reformed as she walked out from behind a wall of crates. The wooden boxes had hidden her so well that I wondered just how much of the conversation she'd heard. By the look of worry in her normally placid eyes, I was pretty sure she'd been there for enough of it to realize how dangerous the situation was. I pushed off the table, walked over to the alien woman, and wrapped my arms around her smooth waist. Her skin was always a little cool like a waterbed mattress, and it gave a little more than normal flesh would. But she was still solid enough for me to hold when she needed it. I'm sure we'll be fine, I said. We'll just have to be careful. According to this report I found, the earthquake should be occurring every 24 hours, so there'll probably be another one before the sun comes back up. But it doesn't seem like the Earth is ready to just fall apart. I would expect lava or something to come out of it if it was that bad. So, we should be okay.
I hope so, Dave Meyer.
The slime woman replied as she hugged me back.
I do not want to live through that again.
I don't want you to either, I whispered.
We need a plan,
Emma declared and put her hands on her waist.
But let's talk about it over dinner.
Good idea, I said. Everything looks better with a full belly. I led a Crasis over to one of the chairs and pulled it out for her before I took the next one to her. The slime woman reached for a jar of jerky while Emma grabbed a few extra jars of water. I watched the two women carefully. They'd both been through the destruction of their own worlds, and I wasn't sure how well they'd handle this one.
What supplies do we need?
Fila snagged her own jar of jerky and then looked over Floppy. The woolly mammoth had claimed a jar of asparagus and managed to untwist the lid with his snout. The jar was quickly becoming empty, and Floppy's molten brown eyes shifted to the green beans on my plate. He huffed when I shook my head and then dramatically ate the last piece of asparagus before he tossed the empty jar aside.
We need any jars that we can find so we can have extra storage,
Emma said.
I don't think we'll be able to find any food, but we have enough to get us to the next world. What about our shelter?
The beautiful catwoman asked as her tufted tail swished behind her. I still want to see if we can find any shipping containers, I said.
Searching for shipping containers near you,
Abby said, and I realized that I still had the Namshubs on my face.
The only containers that I have found are at the Gilding Company shipping yard in Detroit.
Okay, I said. Well, then we'll have to make a trip to the city. We might be able to find some food that the survivors left behind. Since it sounds like the drill bots killed most of the people in Detroit, there might actually be some canned foods left.
The drill bots killed the humans?
Fila asked as her ears flicked backwards.
Why?
They apparently tried to destroy the machine and it defended itself, I explained. We'll have to keep our guards up when we go in, but hopefully we won't run into any more.
If we do, then I will dispose of them,
Raz said with a firm nod of her head before she tore off a piece of jerky. Perfect, I said. So we have a plan to get to the shipping containers. Now we just need one to get it back.
Floppy can bring it like he did with the wood,
Phyllis said with a shrug.
Though he will need help because of his back leg.
That wouldn't work even without his injury, I said as I took the vegetable mix that Emma offered me. It'll be way too heavy for the little guy, even on his best day. The miniature woolly mammoth lifted his head, pinned me with his molten brown eyes, and gave an indignant toot before he purposely turned away from me. I'd apparently gone too far, especially after I'd refused to give him my dinner, and I had to hold back a laugh at the overly dramatic creature.
Can it be taken apart?
Emma asked. I don't think so, I said. The ones I've seen are welded together. We'll have to take it all in one piece, which means we'll probably only be able to grab one, though that should be enough for now.
Will there be any vehicles that we can use?
The catwoman asked. Maybe, I said. Though I'm not sure what would be able to go over the rough terrain. I looked around at the quickly darkening world outside of our pocket dimension. There was flat land about a mile away, but the hilly junkyards filled the space between the top of the canyon and our base. I didn't know of any vehicles that could navigate those huge piles of couches, desks, and other junk.
The Gilding Company uses their innovative construction cranes to transport the shipping containers across land,
Abby piped up in her propaganda voice.
The Gilding Company has designed superior cranes that can utilize all-terrain wheels as well as hover several feet over uneven surfaces in the event that the road it travels on is not finished. These brilliant machines have helped to deliver much-needed goods to even the most remote parts of the world.
Naturally, I rolled my eyes. I'm not sure how much I believe in the Gilding Company, but the Gilding PM has to have a way to get all of this shit out of the city, so we'll at least give them a look when we get there tomorrow.
Oh, a hijacking!
Emma exclaimed with an excited clap of her hands.
I've read about those in old Western novels.
I'm sure it won't be that exciting, I chuckled. Though, with those drill bots running around, who knows?
Do you think there will be something for Floppy to eat in the city?
Phyla asked as she looked over at her beloved pet. Probably not, I said. If the trees are dead this far out, then anything near that machine is probably toast. We'll check the stores for any canned vegetables, but I think we'll be restocking most of our foodstuffs in the next world.
We should try to replenish our building supplies,
Emma said and pulled her notebook out of her pocket.
I've written down everything that we've lost so far, and I'm fairly certain that this world should have all of it.
Right, I said. So we'll get up early tomorrow and head into the city. Floppy should probably stay behind.
I will stay with him,
Phyla responded. We'll need you with us, I said with a frown. Just in case there are survivors that we need to fight. He should be fine behind the slime shield.
I will protect him,
Raz said.
The part of myself that I leave behind will be able to fight anything that might attack him.
Phyla narrowed her yellow-green eyes, and I knew that she didn't want to leave her beloved pet behind. I wasn't exactly thrilled with the idea either, but the big guy needed to rest, and I didn't want to risk him hurting himself even more. A crisis can keep him safe, I said. And we'll be back before nightfall. He'll only hurt himself more if he comes with us.
You are right, Dave Meyer,
the catwoman sighed. Her black tufted ears were firmly pressed back against her auburn hair, but she forced herself to smile at me. So I reached over to squeeze her hand in mine. She'd probably be worried the entire time that we were gone, but I was glad that she'd at least conceded, and a crisis wouldn't let anything happen to him. So we have a plan, I said. Tomorrow, we will go explore Detroit.
I must warn you, Dave Meyer,
Abby said as I took another bite of my vegetables.
It is unwise to visit the city of Detroit.
Why? I asked, as soon as I swallowed my food. We can take down the drill bots.
The city of Detroit is infested,
the automated voice said.